Well, here we are in the fifth Sunday of Lent, the first weekend of the COVID-19 lockdown for our churches, where no public masses are being celebrated. You, good people, are faithful in your homes, and I am here saying Mass in the presbytery, remembering you, my parish family. The reading from John's Gospel today is always one that inspires interest in me. It's particularly relevant at the moment, I think, because of Lazarus's death and then resurrection. In fact, the theme of death is very strong through all of the liturgy today, and it's in the back of our mind and the fear that comes with that because of what we don't know about this virus. But the fear is a very real thing that is there, and it's attached to death and suffering at this time. Even in our penitential act for this Mass, we hear, "You open for your people the way from death into life. Lord, have mercy." And then St. Paul, reading in the letter to the Romans in tonight's liturgy, he says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your own mortal bodies through his Spirit living in you." So whilst the word death gets mentioned, and it is very much a part of the consciousness of all of our lives, it is the reality that we are all going to face, the scriptures tell us that it is not the end, that it is firstly the opportunity for a conversation with God, a coming closer to God, and secondly, it's the opportunity, and it will be, the experience of God transforming our lives. So we mustn't be afraid of death. We as Christians, that would not be a smart thing at all, not helpful at all. If we were afraid of death, it is the fear that is possessing us. And we are saying, as St. Paul said, it is the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead that is possessing us. So we are all possessed with this Spirit, which will draw us into eternal life. So it's one of the strange things I sometimes hear when I've visited hospital is might say to a patient, "How are you?" And they'll say, as they're recovering, "Well, this is better than the alternative." I've always thought that's a little bit strange, because for a Christian, the alternative is wonderful. As that little punchline goes, the fringe benefits of our faith are out of this world. And this weekend, with the story of the raising of Lazarus, is an opportunity for us, I think, to positively reflect on perhaps the things that face us at the end. More importantly, I think, though, the things that we are facing now, and with the virus in the back of our mind and so much in front of our view, this could be a really challenging time, but I see it as a great time of opportunity. John's Gospel is written primarily in two books, we call them. The first part of John's Gospel, up to chapter 12, is called the Book of Signs. And the second part is called the Book of Glory, which goes up to Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, the Book of Signs has several signs in there, of which the raising of Lazarus is one of the last. And so it is written for the community, for John's community, as evidence of God's glory living, active and alive in Jesus and in us. He did this most probably to help the people come to terms with their own death and with suffering in the light of the resurrection. So it was really all about hope. And isn't that relevant for today? But there've always been two parts in this gospel that I have always found spiritually very, very challenging. So it's the 11th chapter of John we're reading, from verse 3 right up to verse 45. In the bulletin, you'll see, for those of you that have it, it's a small version. But John chapter 11, verse 3 to 45 with your scriptures if you've got them at home. That's what I would be encouraging you to reflect on again. And the two parts in that gospel from John are these that I'm going to offer you. Firstly, the line goes in there, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was for two more days. And then they went to Judea. He loved Lazarus, yet when he heard he was ill, he stayed away for 2 days. Why didn't he just drop everything and race back to where Lazarus, Martha, and Mary were? But he stayed for 2 days, and then he had to travel. So by the time he got there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. But if he was such a dear friend, why did he wait for 2 days? So we ask ourselves this question now. If God loves us, his spirit is in us, why are we going through this awful suffering in the world at the moment, particularly with this virus? Why, if he loves us, why isn't he doing something about it? Does it appear that, like with Lazarus, Jesus is silent? Well, let's remember that when Jesus is silent, he is not absent. So for those 2 days, he was not absent from Lazarus. His heart was most certainly with him. It's just that everybody else couldn't see this friend return to his dying friend. At the moment, we're getting a great experience of the silence because of the isolation that all of us are forced to live in. But that doesn't mean that Jesus is absent. Not at all. In the silence, Jesus is present. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to meet him again in the silence of our lives. We might actually hear him speaking to us where he says, like he does to Lazarus, come out. And he says to the people, let him be free. The second part of the gospel that intrigues me a little bit is that beautiful line, Dominus flevit. They say it's the shortest sentence in the Bible. Jesus wept. Just beautiful. Jesus wept. And then I always remember the follow-on prayer for that. Give me the gift of inner tears. Now, tears, it has often been said, are simply our body praying. And scholars have argued over what the tears of Jesus meant at this time. I don't think we have to dig very deep there. When we love someone whom we would consider a dear friend and they have something awful happen to them or they die, then quite often our natural response, particularly if they die, is tears, our body praying. It really is, I think, just a sign of friendship. They are actually, I think, friendship tears. And the beauty of it, in one sense, is that as the conversation went on, Lazarus is raised to life. He's brought back from the dead. So we need to think about that. Okay, that's a miracle. I can't kind of get it in my head, perhaps. But why would John include all of this in his book of signs? Most probably because the people, his community, they were the ones that struggled with the resurrection. And if Jesus was still here, he wouldn't let this happen. But he ascended, and so he did let this happen, and he does let this happen. That is, we suffer and we die in the body. But resurrection, we have to understand, is not restoration of life to a corpse. It is the transformation, because Jesus' own death allows our bodily death to transcend from the grave to glory with God. So our bodily death is the transcendence following the Spirit, the call of the Spirit, to share in the glory with God. Lucky Lazarus, eh? He was given some more time. So I just ask ourselves at the moment, what do you suppose he did with his extra time? I wonder what Lazarus got up to. Bring it back to us. Each one of us, in one way or another, has been given more time too. What are we doing with it at present? If, for example, we were seriously ill, this prayer from the Mass for the sick may well have been said for you at some time. I may have said it for you, I may have said it for your family. The wording comes from the older translation of the Roman Missal. Just notice how this prayer, it is a plea for us to return to health. And the prayer goes like this. God our Father, our help in human weakness, show our sick brothers and sisters the power of your loving care. In your kindness, make them well and restore them to your church. That's the prayer after the communion from the old Mass for the sick. If you yourself have been restored to health after sickness, if you have returned to your church after having some time away perhaps, let's ask ourselves, for what purpose was my health restored? For what purpose was I called back? And then, in this Lent, we could ask ourselves, what should I now be doing with my time and my health to show my gratitude for my recovery and for answering the call? May God bless you and those whom you love at this time as we journey toward this particularly mysterious Easter. Once again, what should we be doing with our time during these days of silence, but not absence? Amen.